This is Did You Hear What Chocolate Said? I am your host, the chocolate writer Sharon Mullen. I've got a pretty serious situation on my mind. Namely, what happens to liars who end up getting people killed and the wrong person charged for that deadly murder? What happens to them? That's what we're going to talk about today. Sometimes a woman's scorn needs to be locked up. You ready? Let's get to it. The first real live court case that I remember paying close attention to was the trial of the cops that beat Rodney King in Los Angeles in 1991. I remember where I was on April 29, 1992, when the verdict acquitting those four officers of assault and excessive force came down. I was sitting on the floor in my living room folding clothes when they interrupted programming for the special bulletin. They showed the verdicts being read. They showed live footage of the quiet that was going around, you know, Los Angeles immediately after the verdict, because people were in homes, in department stores, looking at TVs, watching the verdict. So it was a stillness. Then they show live footage. All of a sudden, it was like a bomb went off. Report after report of mobs of people smashing storefronts and looting all in neighborhoods where Rodney King lived and similar to his neighborhoods. Zero blacks on the jury. Zero. As a black woman, I was still shocked, though. You see, the beating was caught on tape. Had it not been on tape, those cops never would have even been charged. It was the first time that I can remember that a high-profile incident was brought to trial, mainly due to the video playing a key role, video evidence. Now, video is used many times in court cases, and they're often the most compelling evidence, such as in the case of the murder of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. Once again, video evidence was key in a relatively high-profile case, which was recently decided. In this case, in Florida, former NFL wide receiver Travis Rudolph was acquitted of murder and attempted murder after he shot 29 shots defending himself, his mother, Linda, and his brother, Daryl, from perpetrators called over to his house by his then casual lover, Dominique Jones, to come shoot up his shiggity. Not going to say that S word. The video showing events leading up to the shooting reveals serious inconsistencies in the testimonies of Dominique Jones and the perps, one of who happens to have been her brother. And I'm not going to take time to go over all the details, but many. So here's what I'm going to focus on. This case is so disturbing in many ways. First, Rudolph dated Ms. Jones for about a year and a half. During that time, she never told Rudolph that she's actually married. She never filed for divorce until after this incident even occurred. But, you know, that's another story. He dated her for about a year and a half. And during that time, just before this incident happened, they were on the outs. He was about to go to Canada and start playing for the CFL. And she knew that he was going to be there in May. It's April. She knew he was coming. It was coming to the end, and they were arguing about it back and forth. So supposedly before this incident happened, but on the day of the incident, Rudolph and Jones went and got some Patron at her request, and they were sitting around playing Uno of all things and taking shots. Things were cool until Rudolph left the room for a minute. And while he was gone, of course, Miss Jones went through his phone and saw text messages of him having conversations with some other women. But they were just friends, he said. But Jones flew into a rage, smashed his phone, destroyed his PlayStation, hit Rudolph upside the head with one of his football trophies, and the bottle of Patron. And then, as you can see on the video from the Ring camera at his mom's house, she begins beating Travis up. You can also see that Travis never lays a hand on her as she's beating him up. She storms out the house. She trips and she falls. Rudolph still never touched her, but he was pissed. So while she was cussing him out, calling him a broke bitch and so forth, and destroying his property, he says, well, yeah, this other woman, she looks better than you. She's got a better body, just to get back at her. That is when Dominique says she's going to have her brother come kill him. She gets in her car. She calls her brother Keyshawn. She lied to Keyshawn saying that Rudolph slammed her to the ground 2 times and disrespected her. She's crying and yelling. She tells him to come get Travis. She then called one of Keyshawn's friends, who's like a brother to him, Tyler Robinson, and tells him the same story and to come get Travis Rudolph. She then sent a group text. See, it wasn't enough that she called each one of them. She had to put it in writing. She sent a group text to Keyshawn and Tyler saying, go shoot up his shiggity. Her brother texts back, her brother, that's Keyshawn, texts back, Travis Rudolph is a dead man walking. It's in the text messages. This chick then calls Travis's sister and his mother and tells them both she's going to go over to his mother's house and she's going to have her brothers go over there and kill Travis. She called his sister and his mama and told them this. This is crazy. Sister calls Travis at the house to warn him and they talk about it a little while. When his mom got home about 10:45, she can see on their Ring camera that Dominique was actually the aggressor beating him up and that she was lying to them. So after a while, nothing happened. It was still quiet. Nobody came to the house or anything. So Travis went to bed, but his mother and his brother were still up. Sister went home. Dominique drives all the way to her house, her apartment, where Keyshawn Jones was there. She put on the whole crying show again, getting him all pumped up and upset. He grabs his 9mm Glock, which he was licensed to carry. Yeah. And he drove to Tyler's house, you know, the best friend, where Tyler and 3 other friends were there waiting. So you got Tyler, Sebastian, Tyrone, and Chris. They were all waiting. They concocted this plan to go over to Travis's mom's house around midnight and kill him. All 4 of them were armed and they drove Keyshawn's mother's car. They parked several blocks down the street from Travis's house. They put all their personal belongings in the trunk. This is caught on the neighbor's Ring camera. Then they got back in the car and crept a little closer to Travis's house to start their sneak attack, but far enough away so Travis can't see them coming. This is around midnight. So dudes walk up to Travis's house, bangs on the door. Travis's brother, Daryl, answers, because remember, Daryl and the mom is still up, but Travis is asleep. Dudes demand to see Travis. Travis wakes up, hears a commotion, grabs his gun, which he is also licensed to conceal and carry. He grabs his gun and he puts it by the front door on, you know, in the living room right there, but he doesn't take the gun outside with him. As soon as he goes out the door, Tyler Robinson punches Travis in the face immediately. And then the other 3 jump in and the 4 of them are jumping Travis. So of course, Travis's brother Daryl comes out and tries to pull the dudes off Travis. So then it's 2-on-1, the 2 dudes on Travis, 2 dudes on Daryl. They're fighting. So that's when Tyler, that's the best friend of Dominique's brother. He points his gun at Travis and said, it's demon time. You disrespected Dominique. Demon time, I never heard of that, but just the sound of that means, okay, demon time, which means you about to die. It's demon time. That's when Travis somehow ran back into his house without getting shot or anything and gets his gun. He comes back out, and by this time, Tyler backs up with his hands up like he's surrendering, saying, all right, you got it. You got it. And then suddenly he took off running down the street. Travis watches him where he's running. And as he's looking up the street, he sees the other two guys down the street beating up Daryl, his brother. So, of course, that's his brother getting beat up by two guys with guns. Then Tyler is running towards them and he has a gun. So Travis has his gun. So he's going to run down there to try to help his brother with his gun. So all four of them, the guys ran the rest of the way. As Travis came on the scene, the four guys stopped and ran to the car. It was only about maybe 60 feet away. Tyler, Chris, Sebastian, and Keyshawn, all four of them ran to the car. Travis and Daryl ran after them, ran up to them to make sure that they were leaving. Well, the car is facing them. They're not running away from them. The car has to be facing them because why? Well, according to the evidence, Sebastian was pointing the gun through the windshield, not the back window, the windshield. That means the car had to be facing him at Travis and Daryl. Travis said he could clearly see it. The car didn't have tint on it on the front windshield, so he could see it. So you had Sebastian was in the front passenger seat pointing the gun. Keyshawn was the driver. Chris was behind him inside the car. Tyler was behind the front passenger seat and hanging out the door, pointing his gun. So he had two guns pointing at him all of a sudden at the same time. So Travis fired back. It was either shoot or be shot. I mean, shoot or be shot. That's what it was. Shot 29 times. Well, it's a Glock. It's not hard to do. Squeeze. There you go. Chris, who was in the rear driver's seat behind the driver, ran away. Tyler ran, tossed his gun. Canine dogs later found that. But Travis and Daryl ran home to their mom. Within an hour, Travis' sister and brother-in-law got to the house. They didn't call the police. A neighbor who had heard all the fighting even had his gun. It was so bad. Because he didn't know if it was going to spill over into his house. Keyshawn, in the car that was shot up by Travis, drove 5 miles with all the shot up car and everything. Drove 5 miles, never called 911, even though Sebastian was sitting there in the front passenger seat, bleeding to death. They ditched their guns. They didn't call 911. The car, I guess from being shot up, finally died out. When the first officer arrived on the scene, he noticed the silhouette of two guys sitting there. Neither one of them flagged them down. They were just sitting there. Didn't, react for them to come or anything. More or less, it seemed like they were ducking him. That was suspicious. Not once did Keyshawn, during that 5 mile drive, did he try going towards a hospital. He actually passed two hospitals, or the direction that he could go to two different hospitals. Eventually, after that car finally stopped, though, after that cop went on by, he finally did call 911. He and Chris had 2 hours together to concoct their stories before they were ever interviewed by detectives about what went on. He lied in the 911 report saying that they had been shot at by Travis. Never said that they had guns. Never mentioned the fact that his sister told him to come and shoot his shiggity up. Never mentioned any of that stuff. Mm. detectives never even once checked their cell phones later in the investigation. So not only did Dominique lie to put all this in motion, but the three survivors lied, saying they just went over to Travis' house to talk to him, and he shot at them. Travis was arrested that night. Dominique, Tyler, Chris, and Keyshawn all FaceTime each other while Tyler was in his hospital room. Because, you know, he got shot too. He just survived. They had time to FaceTime each other and concoct this story. And they did this before Dominique was ever interviewed. So, of course, her story matched what Keyshawn and Chris said by that time. So when Tyler was finally interviewed, by that time, dogs had found Tyler's gun, for which he had no license to carry. But the dogs had found his gun. So even though he had lied previously or did not mention he had guns previously, so by the time he was interviewed, he was confronted by the police about this gun, and it had DNA that matched him or whatever. He had to admit that he had a gun. Now the story had to change, since now he admitted he had guns. First it was talking to, but he had guns. If you just going to talk, what's the gun for? All of that. 2 months after this happened, at Tyler's deposition, he admitted all the lies about the guns. But he continued to lie, saying that Travis came out shooting. As more depositions were taken from Tyler, though, his stories changed. And several times he started saying he couldn't remember anything all of a sudden. By the time detectives got Dominique's cell phone, she had deleted all those texts she made telling her brother and them to go kill Travis. But she forgot to delete her searches, though. She had searched for things like stand your ground laws in Florida, pro bono, the net worth of the prosecutor even, and JetBlue pro bono. Why is she searching for all this? That came into evidence, according to the defense attorney. Very interesting. The bottom line is Dominique lied to her brother and his friends. They all lied to the police. And the police detective who never did forensics on Sebastian's phone, the one that died, never interviewed Travis's mom, sister, or brother, never searched the trail of the car for discarded guns. The only reason that gun was ever found was because a canine caught the scent. She didn't send for a search. The canine found it. Never did forensics on Dominique's phone for 8 days. Said it was an inconsequential thing to examine Chris's phone. So she never did his phone. And never followed up on Tyler saying that Travis is a dead man walking. Even after she finally found the text from Keyshawn's phone that was in the trunk of that car. Shoddy investigation, lying perpetrators, and the prosecutor brought this case to trial, although lies were corroborated. This case should have never been tried. Travis Rudolph's defense attorney was brilliant in her opening statement where she laid all this out. Watching his testimony, he was extremely believable. But you could tell Dominique and her cohorts were lying. To this day, no perjury charges have been filed against them, though, although they've been proven to have been liars in court under oath. It only took jurors 4 hours to reach the not guilty verdict. Thank God for the video, dogs, and neighbors who confirmed Travis's side of the story, or else he may not have gotten acquitted. In all of this, I'm most angry with Dominique. She's the one who set all this in motion by first going through Travis's phone. Second, by flying into a jealous rage and beating him up. Third, she lied to everyone she called about what happened. And fourth, she demanded that her brother and friends go shoot his shiggity up. This is a woman who knew exactly what she was doing. She lied and lied again. She conspired and encouraged a murder. Luckily for Travis, he was a well-trained gun owner who was able to shoot first, or he and his brother would probably be dead. My question is, where are the charges for her and her co-conspirators who have been proven to have lied? Where are the sanctions on the lead detective for her botched investigation, or for the head of detectives for assigning this series of a murder trial to a detective to lead who had only investigated two murders prior? But again, Dominique is the main culprit. I want to make that clear. All the players in this story are Black. As much violence already existing in many Black communities, she decided to add more violence by inciting murder. It's ridiculous. It cost Sebastian Jean Jacques his life and cost Travis 2 years of his life. He was a month away from starting in the Canadian Football League, and it was ruined all by her lies. I don't see how she sleeps at night. God bless Travis Rudolph and his family and the family of the one that was killed. Thank you for listening to another episode of Did You Hear What Chocolate Said? You can follow me, The Chocolate Writer, on at Chocolate Writer on Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter at Chocolate Writer. You can also follow me on Facebook. I got a Facebook page, Chocolate Writer. You can catch me every Saturday morning on The Side John, 10 o'clock a.m. on YouTube and Facebook with my co-host Dennis Holmes, where we chop it up about life, love, relationships, and sports and everything in between. I'm going to keep an eye on this subject, on this story, though. This is just, I'm just so glad he got acquitted. Just too many lies. It was just an awful situation. In the meantime, you guys, I'll see you in the next episode. And I wish you love, peace, and chocolate. We'll be right back.